All right, thanks for that. And thank you for being here and being in your place this morning. And I don't want to use the word apologize, that might be strong, but if you're newer in our church in the last few weeks, thank you for being patient. You come to a church, you don't quite maybe understand it, but we've been in our building campaign and we're getting to the end of it today and we'll take our offering. And so bear with us as this is where we're at right now. This building is finishing up it's really done. There's just a couple small inspections we have to finish up to get into the rest of it here. And starting next week, we'll start the remodel next door. School is out. And by the way, we've had a great week. Had a high school graduation. We've had a great week, bus ministry yesterday, and things are just going well, and we want to make sure that's what our building program is all about, that we continue to make sure our facilities are where they're at and give us the space to continue and to grow and to reach. I think it's going to happen. When we're officially in this building in a few weeks and we can use all the Sunday school class, I think it's going to happen. It might be the first time in probably since like early 1990s that we haven't had Sunday school classes outside. And I can't promise that. I can promise they won't be meeting out here anymore, okay? We might tuck them somewhere else, but we've never let problems or lack of space keep us from doing what we should be doing. And so that's our opportunity this morning. And so thank you for being here. We're looking forward to a great summer, and we'll get into summer mode starting on Monday as well. I just want to share a few thoughts this morning before we take our offering, not specifically about the offering, but it applies. People like to invest, and whether or not we understand it, all of us, really, in our lives, we're making investments of some type. Investments is when we take, when we're buying things, we're buying something that we're investing our finances in that we think will bring us a desired outcome. We think that it is worth what we're giving. We invest our time, we invest our money, we invest our talents. Life is an investment. By the way, we invest in relationships as well. Now, by the way, if we look at life from a selfish standpoint, we don't do that. You know, we won't invest. We get into a relationship for what we can get out of it. And if you're not willing to invest in that relationship outside of yourself, you're not going to get anything out of it. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. But we need to see the concept of just investing and investing correctly. All of us want a good return. And I don't know if you're like me, I don't like missing out on something. If God is doing something, I want to be a part of it. And I don't want to miss out on it. Over the years, as we think of the many different building campaigns that we've had to get us from where we were to get us to where we are today, our family has always invested and invested heavily. Why? I want to be in on what God's doing. When we have our missionaries and we invest in missions, and every Thursday night, if you don't come, we'll have a video up here, and we show our different missionaries from around the world. They'll send us a little video update. We'll look at that. And I want to give, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to invest in that. I want to get a return on what I am giving. I don't want to miss out. I saw a story in the early days. If you're a little older, in the early days of computing, when the internet started taking off, the big internet company was who? No, it was Yahoo. Google wasn't around. The search engine you use was Yahoo. Now, I know Yahoo's around. I don't know what they actually do anymore. Okay, but do you know Google is the dominating search engine now? Do you know that Yahoo twice could have bought Google? The first time they could have bought it, bear with me here, for $1.5 million. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, Google's valued at like $1 trillion or some ridiculous number. They could have bought them several years after that for $3 billion, but they didn't. And now when we search, we don't say, someone says, hey, do you know what's going on there? No one says, here, let me Yahoo that, right? We all say, let me Google it. They blew it. They didn't invest. But life is about investing, and I want us to see that in the verses in Proverbs here this morning. We've been teaching through a certain aspect of Proverbs on Thursday nights, and Proverbs is the book of wisdom. It is the book of understanding what God says and being able to take that and bring it into my life and to actually live it on a daily basis. Many people equate wisdom with education, and that's not necessarily true. By the way, education is only as good as what is being taught. Right? Sometimes, by the way, education is a god in our society. We'll say, you know, I just want my children to be educated. I don't want my children to be ignorant, but I also don't want them to be educated in the wrong things. And so education, wisdom is not necessarily, some of the smartest people in this world are some of the most, and I don't say this in a derogatory way, well, maybe I do, they're the most foolish. Based on the biblical aspect, which foolishness is someone who defies and ignores God's principles. And so we have this wrong concept, but this is what wisdom is all about. It's a very practical, and it's about things that are very, very, very livable. This morning I want to look at this one verse. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, talking about investment. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. This little portion of verses is almost, and parts of Proverbs are like this, it's almost like a father trying to talk to his son, right? I mean, if you're a parent, you're trying to teach children things. You're trying to impart life lessons to them, things that they need if they're going to live right and if they're going to make it in this world. And by the way, parents have stopped doing that, and that's why our society is where it's at. We're afraid to tell our children things. And that's again, message for another day. I better stick on point. But as his father's, in a fatherly sense here, as we're reading the scripture, he tells us something very important. Buy the truth. When you buy something, you're investing your money, which a lot of times represents your life because it takes time to earn money. You know what the problem is? We as a people have a tendency to invest our lives in the wrong thing, right? What is it on investment? ROI, return on investment. Most of us are investing our life. We put an emphasis and a priority on things in life that really aren't worth it. That the return on investment is just really bad. And that's a waste. We spend our valuable time on money on something, and all it brings us is emptiness. The last couple weeks, I was changing the security system in our home, and so we went with a whole new system, and I was buying all the pieces for it, and I couldn't get it all at once, so I was buying some from Amazon and some from Best Buy, so I bought some of the core pieces from Best Buy. And so on Saturday, a bunch of the pieces came in, and I grabbed this box from Best Buy that had like four of the more expensive pieces. Of course, you know, I was a little alarmed when I pick it up, and it was seriously light. And I took the box, and I opened it, and it was empty. Completely empty. There was nothing in there. You know? So I got on the internet, like, talked to Best Buy. What was this? And I got my money back. It took a little bit of haggling, but I got my money back. They sent me an empty box. You know what most of us do? We're investing our life in things, and we get that box, and we open it up, and it's absolutely empty. We got zero return on whatever we're investing in. So Proverbs is telling us there are some things that we ought to invest in, that we should spend our life on. And he says this, we should never sell it off. Come on. Yep. Not only should we start down that path, not only should we acquire these things, once we get them, we ought to never let them get away from us. Amen. Let's not lose the investment. A long time ago, when I was a kid, Brother Johnny Esposito, we grew up together. Before we were saved, I was probably maybe 9 or 10, and he worked cleaning out someone's garage, and he found a bunch of old cards, like sports cards, and he didn't want them, he gave them to me, and there were cards from like the 50s, I'm talking about, old. There was, all these guys in 60s, early 60s, basketball, all sports. And I had all these cards. And then when we moved, I forgot to bring them with me. Now, years later, when this got hot, I'm looking at these cards. People are like, oh, these are hot. I'm looking. I had that one, like $200. I had that one. I had that. I lost out on it. I had it. I let it get away. Here's some things that the Bible tells us that we ought not, that we ought to invest in. And we ought to invest heavily. We ought to get in on it. And once we get in on it, we ought not to ever let it go. It's very simple. There's four very brief things I want to share. First, here's the first one. He says, by the truth. Truth. Now, we understand biblically what truth is. It's a body of knowledge. What is our body of knowledge? It's the Bible. Teaching is that's true. Something that's not a lie. Now, the world doesn't believe that about truth. The world has their own view of truth. They tell us that truth is relative. What does that mean? That means truth is different from person to person. So what you believe is true for you. And Blanche, what you believe is true for you, even as if they conflict each other. It changes from person to person. Truth is, and take this the other way, truth is non-binary. It changes, and it can be true one day, and it cannot be true the next. Can I just tell you something? That's nonsense.
Amen.
That is utter foolish nonsense. And you say, Pastor, how can you prove that? Look at our society. I don't want to be mean. I don't. But we live in a society where feelings trump truth. You can talk to somebody, and by the way, this is America. If you talk to me and you disagree with me, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. But see, we've grown a generation now. It's like, if they disagree, their feelings are hurt. And it's like, just deal. It's like, are you kidding me? Something as small as a disagreement in what we believe is going to make you want to go hide in a closet? We've been catered to. And so we see all this. I'm triggered. I'm not safe. And now they want to force their truth on us. We don't force truth on anybody. I believe the truth is in this Bible, and I'll never back off of it. But between you and God, whether or not you believe it, truth. People can't think critically anymore. Well, I just feel. I just feel. How many of you have ever had a feeling and it's wrong? Come on now, I'm not going to live by my feelings. When my feelings are out of sort, that's when I act in a way that's not consistent with the Bible. Come on now. We don't live by truth. There has to be something somewhere. And because we don't have truth in our society, the consequences have been horrific. I'm not against education, but I'm against indoctrination of idiocy. And again, it's. I'm not saying someone's. I'm talking about where are we getting the truth from? Where are we getting the truth from? That's why I have kids on college campuses that can't even think straight. You go see them, and you go this way. When I go home, and you may not like this, but we'll get over it. Every Sunday when I go home and I go down the 405, there they are: Palestine, terrorist, murderers. I stay with God's people. They didn't start the war. But here's my point. You could go up there and talk to every single one of them and ask them, so what do you mean by that? They can't explain it. It's just something that's been mimicked to them. Well, it's like, you don't even know what's going on here. Well, that's really quiet. Let's just go over here. But the point I'm saying is this. We need truth in our life. Right? We can't even define the word woman. Woman's rights. What's a woman? By the way, we should have stuck with giving this morning. But the thing is this. The reason that people won't define the word even though they know what it is because they're afraid someone's going to shout them down. That's the whole idea. It's like, why can't we just, Anyhow, there's truth somewhere. You know where the truth is? The truth is in the Word of God. See, what happened is once you don't have a solid anchor of truth to pull from, then truth is anything. And when truth is anything, you get to the point where people can say, I decided I want to be a woman today. I can decide I want to be a guy tomorrow. And then when you bring up the ridiculousness of that argument by saying, if that's true, you can become something just by saying it, then I'm going to say that I identify as a 20-year-old. A rich 20-year-old. With a full head of hair. Just because you say something doesn't mean it's true. So we have to say, look, do we need the truth? Yes, because truth is vital. Without the truth, we get in trouble. We get in trouble. The word truth has the idea of faithfulness. You know what that means? It can be counted on. I don't know about you. A long time ago, I wanted to put my life on something that I could count on. Yeah. Right? I wanted something I could say, you know what? I may not understand things, but this is something I can attach myself to. It means it's reliable, it can be trusted, it's stable, we can rest upon it. So there has to be truth. And one of the things our church wants to be built on, we want to be built on God's truth.
Amen.
Truth. The truth of where we're going to spend eternity. The truth of how do we make sure we have the right eternity. The truth of when I go out tomorrow and I'm living my life, what am I going to build my life upon? Because if we build it on something that's false, we're going to pay very heavily. So there's truth. There's also something he says we ought to invest in. Wisdom. He says, also wisdom. You know, look, everything comes with an instruction manual, right? How many remember that? We're talking about the internet, right? The early days of the internet, of computing, you know, my first computer, I remember it had a 170-megabyte hard drive. I mean, you can't even download an app on your phone for that. But you, if you wanted to install a program, for those of you that are younger, let's go boomer, okay? If you wanted to install a program, you bought a box with the program in it, and it had disk. And there'd be like 5 or 6 disks, and you slid it in there, and it would like slip in disk 2 and all this stuff. But here's the thing that was weird about it, if you remember. Every single one of them came with an instruction manual like that thick. How to use the program. And you'd have a bookshelf with like 2 rows of nothing but thick books about how to use the computer program. Now it's like you just download the app and it's pretty intuitive. It's kind of crazy. You know, it's funny. I wish life and the most important things in life had an instruction manual, right? Think about that one. When I got married, they didn't give me an instruction manual. Would have been nice. How wives work. Very helpful. Here's one. When she says no, she means yes. When she says nothing is wrong, something is wrong. Okay. When she is giving you one word answers, watch out. Hey, honey, how was your day? Fine. Everything good? Yep. What's for dinner? Food. You know what that means? You did something dumb, cowboy. You need to like, okay, here we go. Okay, and here's one. When she tells you how wonderful you are, and she cooks your favorite meal, and she gives you a big hug and a kiss, hand her the credit card. Life would just be so much better. My children were born. No tag, no like this end up, none of that stuff. You had to figure it out. Do you know life does have an instruction manual though? It's the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible is a book that tells us how we can live our lives. By the way, the Bible is still very popular? I was just checking this out. There are 80 million copies of the Bible printed every year. And that's not counting, you go to the app store or whatever on your phone and there's all kinds of Bibles there. Surveys tell us 9 out of 10 Americans own a Bible, and for those that own the Bible, the average is about 3 to 4 Bibles each. It's consistent every year. And you know what, though? We know less and less about the Bible every single year.
Come on.
See, the Bible really has everything we need for this life. And if we would just follow it, it would help us.
Yeah.
The problem is most Christians don't.
Yeah.
If you look at all the negative things in society, and the percentage of people that do this, and this, and then you look at it as a society, and you look at the same number in people who claim to be Christians, you know the number's not very much different. Yeah. Whatever the percentage now is for divorces for people that claim to be Christians, it's just about the same. People addicted to pornography, those that claim to be Christians, the percentage is just a little bit lower. You know why? Because we have an instruction manual, and here it is. We hate to look at it. I do. I look, if I get something to put together, it's like, how hard is it to figure this out? I don't need an instruction manual. It's for wimps. That's for betas. And you know what happens? I put it together, and I got extra pieces. I'm like, how come they gave me extra pieces? And how come this thing doesn't work? I'm a narc on Brother Pineda. Where's Brother Pineda? I'm a narc on Brother Pineda. When Brother Pineda was a teenager, he lived with us for a few years. And we bought for him and for Stephen and the boys. I'm like, we bought a basketball hoop. And I'm like, Brother Pineda, you go put it together for us. You know, teenager living in my house. I ain't doing it. And the two main round tubes you put together to hold it up, he put them in the wrong way. And he came in and said, hey, I think we got a problem. And he said, I'm like, nope, we'll just take it apart. You know, that thing to this day is probably still stuck together. You know what an instruction manual says when you buy something? Before you do anything, first page, please completely read the instruction manual before going forward. To a guy that's like, I'm not dumb. I don't need to do that. And then we have to return it because it's not working. But as a Christian, we don't want that. That's why around here we want to look in the Bible. That's why around here we're gonna say with the Bible what it says, good, bad, or we don't like it. Well, let's move on. The third thing we're supposed to invest in is instruction.
Yes, sir.
The core of the word instruction literally means correction. When we're instructed, we're corrected about something. We're being instructed in something we don't know, so we're being corrected in a way, right? We're being told, you know, here's a problem. We can identify problems in our life. Here's how we fix the problem, and here who has the problem, and we can fix things life or strengthen things in our life. That's what instruction is. And he says, by the way, when it comes, no one likes to be instructed. No one likes to be corrected, right? Come on. Say, you know, how many of you like to be chewed out by the boss? Nobody does. Okay? How many, you know, or told even in a nice way that you're wrong? No one likes that. It's our flesh. It just kind of jumps up and says, excuse me. You know, when we think of correction, we naturally think of someone getting in our face. But think of it this way. When we are being instructed in the truth of the Word of God, in some place we're going to be confronted with the fact that where we are at does not line up with it. And so we will be able to identify that in our life. We'll see the consequences of if we don't get that right in our life. And hopefully we will correct that in our life. We have to. See, if we don't want to fix problems, you know what we do? We just want to complain. The best marriage video I've ever seen. You know where I'm going, right? We showed it in church. We gotta show it again. It's like a 2-minute clip called "It's Not About the Nail." How many of you saw that? This lady comes in and she's talking to her husband about all her problems, and she's like, I don't want you to correct them. Just listen. I just wanted you to listen to what I'm going through. And then when the camera turns to her, she has a nail in her head. And she's like, all my blouses are ripping, and I have this constant pain and all this. And he's like, but you have, she goes, don't say it. I don't want to hear about the problem. He's like, you got a nail on your head. If we pull that thing out, I'm pretty sure we can fix it. But that's how we are. We don't want a solution to our problems. We want to gripe about them. Years ago at the other church, I was with the singles, and this guy came up and he started telling me about all his problems, and I'm like, man, I'm sorry about that, but you know what? You can get through this. He goes, stop. He goes, I don't want you to say anything. I don't want any solution. I just want to tell you my problems. Don't say anything. And I knew him pretty well. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead, start telling me your problem. And he started talking, and as he was talking, I just turned and walked away. He goes, hey man, where are you going? I'm like, I don't want to hear about your problems if you don't want help, because I'm going to get depressed. He started laughing and we figured it out. But that's what correction is. The Bible's a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah.
It tells us. By the way, the greatest thing that it helps us in is this area of the gospel. We all need to be instructed in this.
Yes, sir.
This is what our world needs. Do you know if a person receives Christ and becomes a Christian, you know what will happen? It'll help make the world a little bit better. It'll help make our country a little bit better.
Yeah.
It will make our state a little bit better, although it'll help make our city a little bit better. It'll help our churches to be better. It will help our families to be better. It'll help marriages to be better. It will help our children to be better. And it will help you to be better, and it'll help me to be better.
Come on.
But that's where it starts with. Starts with us. And so I hope when you get into the Bible and we preach the Bible, that's what you want. And then lastly, he says you have to invest in understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is a knowledge that brings discernment. You know what discernment is? Discernment is being able to look at something, a course of action, a decision, and to see where that could possibly lead to. What would be the consequences of this particular decision? What would be the consequences of this particular action, whether good or bad? You know, discernment says, you know, if this is what we get involved with, this could potentially bring something bad in, right? By the way, and I'm not harping on this, but I will. That's why our children, we've never let them have a cell phone until after they graduate from high school. Yeah, no, I know. We park our dinosaur out in the front yard. I get it. But as a parent, by the way, let me just say this. As a pastor, whenever we have a young person get in trouble, 95%, and that might be low, there's technology involved every single time. I'm just telling you. It's not the society that I grew up in, right? There were certain things if I wanted to get involved with as a young person, I had to really go out of my way. Now it's at our fingertips. So as a parent, I'm just thinking, what is my goal for my children? I want them to be down the road, and I want them, when they become adults, and it's there, they have to live, and they have to decide if they're going to live for God. They have to decide the direction of their life. As discernment, I think that technology, and it's not going over very well this morning, but that's okay, that would put them in the best place to be where they should be to go forward from there.
Yes.
So that was my decision for our family. And by the way, I don't regret it. But that's what discernment is. You learn the truth of God's word, like, okay, and if I'm in this thing, and by the way, and I don't want to be negative here, there's a really good part of that too. For discernment says, you know what? If I get involved in this and I incorporate this into my life, down the road, I'm going to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
That's understanding. Because the more we understand of God's worth, the more we understand of God's truth, the more we're going to make the right decisions, and we're going to be in a better place.
Yes, sir.
Let's not just live our lives in the moment without looking towards the future. See, Satan's really good. He gets us just to think about the now. And all it takes is a moment of time. We act without hesitation, and we don't sense what could be a potential outcome. And all we think about now is without contemplating the later. We've reaped the consequences of a lack of understanding, and some people are reaping the benefits of having understanding. We are heavily invested, and we're done, in the next generation. When I think about our church, I'm just not thinking about right now. That's not how I see it. Now, I'm excited about what's going on right now, but I don't want 10 years from now, that's to be different. I'm not going to sell out our young people. And I'm going to, look, if you read the Old Testament, when they came out of Egypt, God had so many different memorials there. You know why? He didn't want them to forget where they came from. And he wanted their young people to look back and say, Joseph mentioned it at the graduation. Hey, what does that mean? And he said, God did this for us. Why do we celebrate this feast or this festival? Because it's commemorating what God did. Why? So that generation would keep it and they would perpetuate it to the next generation. That's what we do here. By the way, that's why we have a Christian school. We had to have one. We are tired of young people being taught things that are detrimental to the faith. That's why we have our college here. We want our young people, when they get out of school, to have a place where they can be trained to serve the Lord. And by the way, all of us are to serve the Lord, whether we ever work at a church or not. That's why we run our buses into our community. I grew up in this city. And I was a pagan, a little pagan. And I wish a bus would have came by my house. That's why we do all that we do. That's why we go out in our community and we invite people to church and we share the gospel. Why? We want something better for the future. And I just don't, look, and I understand elections and all that, and elections have consequences, and I'm all in on that. But the greatest thing we can do to help the future of our city, our state, our country, and this world is from a spiritual standpoint. Let's reach our generation. So that's what we're investing in. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the offering? I have no idea. And I'm kidding. Because that's who we are. That's what we're investing in. We're investing in the things that God says, hey, this is what you need to have. And once you get it, don't ever sell it out. That's what we're going to do. Because what's going on is there's too many valuable things at play that we don't want to lose. Yep. If we can bow our head and close our eyes now just for a minute, please. And let's not, as we begin the invitation together, let's not go out. We're going to have our offering commitment at the end of this. But I want us to think about this morning. What are you investing your life in? So a young person, when I finally did, God got a hold of me, and as I sat in church as a 17, 18-year-old listening for the first time ever to the truth of the Bible, I was just, it just hit me, and I'm like, this is a different way of living. What am I going to do with my life going forward from here? Am I going to continue to down the road I was going, doing my own thing, going my own way? And fortunately for me, God got a hold of me. I said, that's not what I want. I want something better. I want what God offers is better. And I decided to turn my life and go for what God wanted me to go for. And I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all. So are you perfect? Not even close. But I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful I've been able to be a Christian. I'm thankful I got a Christian family. Thankful I've been able to spend time in church, investing my life in something that's important. Something that's of eternal value. What are you investing your life in? If it doesn't start with God's truth, then it's not going to end well, at best. You may accomplish everything in this life that you seek to get, but if it's not what God wants you to get, you won't be joyful. It may not make an eternal difference. Before we stand this morning, I would say this. If you're with us this morning and you don't know, you're not a Christian, maybe you're new here and this is all kind of new for you. Thank you for being here, by the way. The greatest thing I learned when I went to a church service is the fact that I needed Jesus Christ. Here's the question. If you were to die this morning, if something tragic were to happen, are you 100% for sure that when you do die, that you're going to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Do you have some doubt? You say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I'm not 100% for sure. I couldn't even give you a reason. With nobody looking around and our heads bowed and our eyes closed, say, Pastor, that's me. If I were to die today, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anybody like that at all? If you raise your hand, I'll see it. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Let's stand this morning if we may. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, the altar's open. What are you investing your life in? It's God's truth. To bottom line, you could put it this, is the Bible really that important to you? Please don't let it just be something we carry to church on Sunday. May it be something that guides our life Monday through Sunday.